had meant to summon my father only long enough to see what his head looked like, but now he was here, and I did not know how to send him back. It all started the Thursday that Father Ignatius came from Immaculate Conception in Kitgum. The old women wore their Sunday frocks, and the old men plucked garlands of bougainvillea from the fence and stuck them in their breast pockets. One old man would not leave the dormitory because he could not find his shikwarusi, and when I coaxed him and badgered, he parted his hair and said, "My God, do you want the priest from Uganda to think that I look like this every day?" I arranged chairs beneath the avocado tree in the front yard, and the old people sat down and practiced their smiles. A few people who did not live at the home came too, like the woman who had hawked candy in the stagecoach bus to Mathare North, and the man whose one-roomed house was a kindergarten in the daytime and a brothel in the evening, and the woman whose illicit brew had blinded 5 people in January. Father Ignatius came riding on the back of a boda boda, and after everyone had dropped a coin in his hat, he gave the boda boda man 50 shillings, and the boda boda man said, "Praise God," and then rode back the way he had come. Father Ignatius took off his coat and sat down in the chair that was marked Father Ignatius Okello, new chaplain. And the old people gave him the smiles they had been practicing, smiles that melted like ghee, that oozed through the corners of their lips and dribbled onto their laps long after the thing that was being smiled about went rancid in the air. Father Ignatius said, "The Lord be with you." And the people said, "And also with you." And then they prayed and they sang and they had a feast, dipping bread slices in tea, and when the drops fell on the cuffs of their woolen sweaters, sucking at them with their steamy cinnamon tongues. Father Ignatius, maiden someone, was about love. Love your neighbor as you love yourself, that kind of self-deprecating thing. The old people had little use for love, and although they gave Father Ignatius an ingratiating smile, what they really wanted to know was what type of place Kitgum was and if it was true that the Bagisu people were savage cannibals. What I wanted to know was what type of person Father Ignatius thought he was, instructing others to distribute their love like this or like that, as though one could measure love on weights, pack it inside glass jars and place it on shelves for the neighbors to pick as they pleased. As though one would look at it and say, "Now see, I have 10 loaves in total. Let me save 3 for my country and give all the rest to my neighbors." It must have been the way that Father Ignatius filled his mug, until the tea ran over the clay rim and down the stool leg and soaked into his canvas shoe, that got me thinking about my own father. One moment I was listening to the tales of Acholi Vela, and the next I was stringing together images of my father, making his limbs move and his lips spew words, so that in the end he was a marionette and my memories of him were only scenes in a theatrical display. Even as I showed Father Ignatius to his chambers, cleared the table, put the chairs back inside, took my purse and dragged myself to Odeon to get a matatu to Uthiru, I thought about the millet-colored freckle in my father's eye and the 50-cent coins he always forgot in his coat pockets, and the way each Saturday morning men knocked on our front door and said things like, "Johnson, you have to come now, the water pipe has burst," and, "Johnson, there is no time to put on clothes even. Just come the way you are." The maid gave birth in the night and flushed the baby down the toilet. Every day after work, I bought an ear of street roasted maize and chewed it one kernel at a time. And when I reached the house, I wiggled out of the muslin dress and wore dungarees and drank a cup of masala chai. I thought of the day I sat at my father's feet and he scooped a handful of groundnuts and rubbed them between his palms, chewed them, and then fed the mash to me. I was of a curious age then, old enough to chew with my own teeth, yet young enough to desire that hot, masticated love, love that did not need to be doctrinated or measured in cough syrup cups.